I can imagine that many of you have seen the you've seen one of the National Geographic presentations, a video on penguins and the life of a little baby penguin in the midst of a sea of other penguins. And the voice, the National Geographic voice, asks the question, well, basically makes a statement. Every one of these little babies hovering underneath the feathers of his or her father, it's critically important that she find her mother if she is going to survive. And it's really touching. Because this little it's cold out there. Some of you have actually probably said this week, it's freezing in the house. My wife says that to me all the time, and I take her over to the thermostat and say, no, it really isn't. But, you know, if you've been out in the snow and you've been cold in the snow, you got to feel for those penguins. It's critically important. And I thought, how in the world are they going to find? And you see this sea of penguins, and they all look the same. They all look the same. I know we say this about people that are different than us. Oh, that, you know, they all look the same. But the National Geographic voice tells me they all look the same. But it is critically important that the mother penguin recognize the voice of her young, and that the young recognize the voice, the frequency of the mother penguin. And then they get together, and the little one doesn't starve, and the body starts to heat up, and everything's good, and the temperature stays cold. You know, it's critically important for our good that we hear the voice of Jesus, and that we respond to the voice of Jesus. Jesus told a brilliant scholar, you must be born again. You must. You must must hear and receive the voice of the Savior and respond positively to that voice. You know, we celebrate the coming of Christ, taking on flesh as a humble little infant and going through all the humility of growing up, this one who is the God of the universe. But John, we've been talking about this. Last week we talked about this. We'll talk about it today, and then we will on Christmas Eve as well. What an amazing thing that the one who holds it all together poured himself out of heaven for us, knowing that even in this dramatic act to us, the gavel is handed to us, and we must, each one, respond to his voice. This last week, I spoke with Heidi's grandpa, 87 years old, and he told a story of standing alone in the gym at APU, watching a practice of the women's basketball team, and this huge, beautiful gym was empty, apart from the girls playing and him. And suddenly he realized there was somebody standing behind him. And he turned around and introduced him to this young man who's a senior at Azusa Pacific University. And as they talked a little bit, he asked this young man if he was a Christian. He asked him if he was born again. And this young man looked very, very puzzled. Though he's in this Christian university, he was very puzzled as to what he was talking about. So Heidi's grandpa, like he does all the time, and he prays for these opportunities. He just took out his Bible simply, and he opened it up to 1 John 5, verses 11, 12, and 13, and he said, would you read this? This is, and this young man was raised in a Catholic background. He said, this is the Catholic Bible approved by the Catholic Church, and he has them read, and this is the testimony. This is on the record. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Oh, no. That Bible says this is approved Bible. He who possesses the Son possesses life. And he who does not possess the Son of God does not have life. And these words are written to you who believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. That young man that day, not because of Tyne's brilliance or his strong speech, he just simply led that young man to Christ. As that young man responded to the voice of Jesus, to the voice of his word, simple words spoken to one who needed to respond to the voice. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to this simple passage, very simple. When John wrote it, he wrote it in simple Greek. John 1, verses 9 through 13 this morning. John chapter 1. I'm going to be reading this morning from my copy of that was given to me many years ago of the New King James Bible. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1049. John chapter 1. I'm going to be reading. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 3 and read through verse 13, again from the New King James Bible. Here John writes, "All things were made through him." This is Jesus, who is the Word. "And without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness couldn't gain control over the light. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He, John, was not the light." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. "That was the true light," speaking of Jesus, "that was the true life, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." You've got your notes here. I'm going to just move right along through them. We're doing a lot, trying to coordinate this with El Calvario, because we have a baptism, believer's baptism, in just not too long. And So we want to just move through these words. So the notes are very simple. We begin with the true light, and understanding that all of us need to respond to this one who is the light. And it all depends on how we respond to him as to how we move forward in life. And it clearly makes all the difference in the world as to where we will spend eternity. The true light was coming into the world. I like the way, it's kind of a little awkward reading. That was the true, verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The note in, I'm using the MacArthur Study Bible, and there's a little note in the margin here that says the sense of this verse was, that was the true light, which coming into the world, him coming into the world, gives real light to every man. John was the witness. Jesus was the light. There is darkness that gets a hold of all of us. It does, doesn't it? Darkness can be deep, profound darkness. A darkness it's just so obvious to like everyone around us when we are living in darkness. It can be a darkness when we are going in such a bad direction. It can be a darkness that causes it's just so obvious. We don't seem to be able to gain control over our tongues. We don't seem to be able to gain control over our thoughts. We don't seem to be able to gain control over our eyes. And it's like we are addicted to a behavior that is taking us down a very dark road. But darkness also just kind of creeps up on all of us. And there is this darkness that will overwhelm us. I was thinking, turn with me, please, in your Bibles. I was just listening to these words that were sung. Daniel read these words from Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, again, if you're using the Bible in front of you, it's page 683 in the Bible in front of you. This would be Isaiah chapter 9. Listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when the first he lightly esteemed, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. You know, the prophets write, and they write in so many respects, they probably didn't understand the big picture at all. But as the prophets write, they write about something that is going to happen, and a Messiah is going to come to deliver them. But he speaks to the people of Israel and says to them, there is this darkness that covers the land. But then the people who walked in darkness, as if it's already happened, he writes, those people have seen a great light, and that light has dawned upon us. We were just listening as we were driving last night, driving home and listening to Handel's Messiah, and these words were being driven home. And then from chapter 60, turn to Isaiah chapter 60, if you're already there. Isaiah 60, these words just, for us, were so captivating. We weren't speaking we were just listening and kind of singing these words that we had sung many, many years as young people. From Isaiah chapter 60, the first three verses, again, from the New King James Bible. Arise, shine, For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Just the prophet doesn't even know the timing of this, but arise and shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. And those words just kind of crept up on us, and it was like, this is the one that we sing about, and the one for whom we light our houses and our trees, and these lights that are like little symbols of light coming into darkness, shattering the darkness. But look at verse 3 again. The Gentiles, these are just captivating words to the people of Israel. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Speaking of the one who is the Messiah, even the Gentiles. There's the Jews who will be coming out of darkness, and Gentiles when Messiah comes. Even the Gentiles. You've got Jews and you've got everybody else. Label them Gentiles. The true light, that true light, which coming into the world gives light to everybody, even to Gentiles. Well, the true light coming into the world, verse 10, the world was made through him. I was thinking this morning, I almost asked Daniel to read from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the reason why I was thinking about chapter 19 of the Psalms is in Romans chapters 1 and 2, God says to people just like us, he says to them, you know, nobody has an excuse for not knowing me. When we talk to people about Christ, or when we get into a little bit of a dialogue with some people, they'll say, well, what about this person? And what about this person? And what about this person? And what if they never heard? And Paul says it so very clearly. The psalmist says it so very clearly. We should be able to walk outside and recognize there's something bigger than this. And then we hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, in chapter 29, that if you seek him with all your heart, you will surely find him. Missionaries will say, as you listen to how they see people respond, even in cultures that have, those cultures have been surrounded by false gods, and they themselves may have been caught up by false gods and false religious systems. These missionaries will say, as people really respond to God and seek him, even in the midst of it, just understanding that it's really all about grace, as people respond to the light, God gives them more light. It might be a light that they never really expected. They never expected to see the light in the face and in the words and in the life of Jesus. But as people respond to the light, just as they respond, they see more clearly, moved along by the Holy Spirit. The world was made through him, but the world did not recognize him. The Apostle John loved to use that word, world. I think that I read that the word that is used here is used like 178 times in the Bible, and John used that word about 85 times. And he loved this expression, referring to all the physical world that we see, but also referring to the spiritual world that was really driven and moved along by the enemy of our soul. He came to the world that he made that should have recognized him, and the world did not receive him. Verse 11, he came to his own. He came to his own people, the Jewish people, who heard these prophetic words. Words that some of us would sit back and say, well, those still seem a little bit ambiguous as to when he would show up. But over and over again, brilliant people read words about words like the Gentiles, even the Gentiles, people so far away from God, they will respond to the light. Jesus stood up and used those words himself. And the apostles used those words. And people who were accustomed to hearing those words, because of the things driving their hearts, they wouldn't respond and they wouldn't receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. I love one of the interpretations of that word for receive. It's a common, very simple Greek word, paralaban. It means to take what somebody has to offer. They didn't take what was offered to them. In prophetic words, they didn't respond to the words coming from the lips of Jesus. They didn't respond. Just imagine that little penguin not responding to mommy's voice. Yeah, it's just too noisy around here right now. There's too many other voices. Everybody's talking at one time. Yeah, everybody's talking at one time. But this paralaban, receive, it means to welcome what he had to say. Those are good words, Jesus. Sometimes before we receive those words and accept them, they might come with, pretty sincere questions. I guess I don't understand. But those words that are spoken, as many as received him or welcomed what he had to say, to accept what he had to say, to take what he had to offer. He came to his own, but his own didn't welcome those words. Verse 12, yet to all who received him, that is to him who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Can you recall a time when you just suddenly realized you needed to, you were resisting God's word, maybe defiantly resisting his word? Or maybe you realized you hadn't welcomed the words that he had for you, spoken in a message or in a teaching, or in the time you carved out to spend alone with him. You didn't really welcome those things, even though we probably know, we've probably been challenged with this thought, that when God speaks, we need to say, like Samuel was instructed by the prophet. Next time, say to the Lord, Lord, speak, for I'm listening. I'm listening. Do you come to God's word? Do you come to it regularly with an attitude to welcome what he has to say to you? Do you welcome what he has to say to you because you come with a sense of expectation? I was thinking about these songs that we were singing today. These have become songs that we hear in department stores and elevators. We kind of race through them. How many Christmas songs did we sing this morning? Were you counting? We just sang one right after the other. And we sang three songs today. And I was thinking as we were singing those, there were some words that I don't think I'd ever really consciously paid attention to. And one of them was speaking about darkness as well. And I just need to know, I need to remember, that darkness can creep up on me as well. Here it is, Jesus pouring himself out of heaven and walking this earth humbly for 33 years. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. Verse 11, verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The word right is, he gave the authority. He gave permission to them to become children of God. He gave the privilege of becoming a child of God. The privilege. Now, I pause over those words, and I'm thinking of the world in which we live talks a lot about rights, and it seems like, isn't it everybody's right to be a child of God? How do you become a citizen of heaven? It is by responding to the light that he gives us. Many people then and now believed very superficially. Jesus doesn't live up to my expectations. My expectations are for lots of rights fulfilled by governments and by churches and by God, surely. I deserve to be one of his children. But he says, not on your own. Whoever receives him, who believes in his name, to them he gave the right to be, in fact, born of God. Yesterday we had a breakfast with our neighbors. And it's an annual thing. We pray that even as we build relationships with people, that we'll have an opportunity to share the light of Christ. Are you praying for opportunities? Are you open to being able to say to them, much like Tyne Hardeman shared with a young man that just showed up in his life, in just simple words, are you prepared to share the light with him? I was in a meeting with one of our missionaries in East London, and Tom was given the light, given the opportunity to speak to a group of people who were celebrating the Hindu celebration of lights. And I don't think that the hostess was prepared for this, but Tom talked about. They asked him, since it's a celebration of lights, would you talk about light? Wow. What an opportunity to speak. And I think that the hostess probably felt a little blindsided. But Tom just said, you know, he talked about a time when his grandma, the door slammed behind her, and she didn't know where the light switch was in the room, and she just was totally disoriented in that room. But he talked about Jesus, who is the light of the world. And whoever receives him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. May God give us great and many opportunities to speak to our families, within our families, to our friends, about Jesus, who simply is the light. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful season of the year. Thanks for the opportunity to light our homes just as a reflection of the one who is the light and the life of the world. I pray, Father, that we would all look for opportunities to speak. I pray, Lord, that all of us would be absolutely convinced that Jesus is the light of the world. Father, again, we pray for those opportunities, even a surprise opportunity to speak about the one who is the light. And I pray, Father, you'd make us bold and ready to speak of him. In Jesus' name, amen.